listening to the Cook and Bartender Podcast with hosts Adam and Tiny, talking everything you want to know about the hospitality industry. And now on with our show.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Cook and Bartender. Welcome back. We love you all. Mr. Tiny, how are you today?
I am doing all right, I guess.
Yeah?
I mean, I'm a little tired. The summer is between the heat and the people and whatever else in between. I kicked my ass. I mean, I slept 12 hours last night.
I slept 13 last night. I haven't slept 13 hours in 25 years, probably.
Plus, it was cool out last night, so maybe that was, you know, I had the windows open, the cool was cool, and I was...
The nights are getting cooler. It's, yeah. I like it, actually. Still scorcher in the day, though.
Oh, I know.
Humidity's a beast. But yeah, season to season, I feel like my body telling me, you work way over my capacity this year, and it's starting to shut down.
Well, yeah. I mean, the plus has been over, usually like 1 week of heat. Otherwise, it's like 75, whatever. This summer's been hot.
Yeah, we've had some long streaks of like that humid high 80s, mid high 80s, early or low 90s, and that'll wear you out.
Wears me out.
I mean, our air conditioners in our places that we work at can't even keep up with it. Then you pack it with bodies on top of it. Like, we have two AC units at work, and sometimes it's still 100 degrees in there when we're packed.
Right. I mean, that's a lot of body heat.
It is. It's amazing what 25 people walk into a bar and literally you could see the thermostat, and it jumps up 10 degrees. Yeah. It goes from 68 to 78 and 20 minutes.
I'm lucky people don't like complain as much as they do.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, it's hot. You know, there's nothing I can do. I mean, my little AC unit's working hard.
Right. And it's still cooler than it is outside. So we get a lot of people that come off the boat and they're baking in the sun. So even if it's warm in the bar to me and I'm sweating, to them, it's still 10 degrees cooler than they were on the pontoon in the sunshine. Yeah.
Sun.
Yeah,
though. That sun will kick your ass.
Yeah. So will this season. It'll kick my ass. Maybe I'm just getting older, but I feel like this. Earlier than I usually get worn out.
Let's talk about dog days of summer.
The dog days of seasonal work summers.
Oh, I tell you, that's a ass kicker. Before we do that,
cheers. What are you drinking today?
I'm drinking Jim Beam.
What? Surprise, surprise, I know, right? Everyone.
I almost changed it up. I had a good, I was going to drink a beer, but I'm like, nah, I'm not hungry for a beer. So I went to Jim Beam.
Just doing Jim Beam and 7-Ups today. Nothing bold.
Nothing bold. I wait until later for the bold.
I'm going with vodka and Sunkist strawberry lemonade soda, which I saw on the shelf yesterday, and it just screamed like summer drink me.
Hello.
It's actually pretty good. Yeah, I'm not a huge soda drinker, but
you know what looked good, and if we took a picture of that and your tattoo together,
the unicorn with the Sunkist.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll take a picture of the unicorn drinking a Sunkist, and then
say dog days of summer.
Dog days of summer. So dog days of summer. Let's get into the seasonality. I like this topic, as I like most of our topics. The seasonal world, we've touched on it a little bit, but
we talked a little bit, a couple of different episodes, but
more about we've talked more about like working and hiring, and but let's just talk about what it's like to be a seasonal worker in a vacation area.
I don't know where to even start.
There's a lot we can talk about, yeah. Let's start with, since we mentioned that we've both been sleeping for 12-hour days and can't really function.
I really think it's between getting your ass kicked on a daily basis when you work, between the heat, and I'm working, you know, I have a flat top that's 450 degrees, I have 6 burners, and then on the summer weekends, I have another flat top that I'm on, so I got 2 flat tops, and how many BTUs a burn right there?
A lot.
Between that heat, working, mental stress. And then after I get done with that, I got other things to do because I'm on a one-man show. So I have to clean. I have to do this, do other things.
Yeah, run to town, get some supplies.
Run to town, get supplies, run to the bank and change, whatever.
Pay the bills, all that stuff.
And then when you get done, you sit down and you're like, oh, now I got to take a shower. And like, oh, I'm stiff and sore.
I don't know if I can get to the shower.
I don't know if I can do the shower.
It sounds like so much work.
And then you see the green stink coming off your head. You're like, yep, shower time.
You can smell your own feet.
Yep.
Standing up, you're like, oh, Lord. But it's also crazy, too, like the seasonal world. And, you know, I've worked non-seasonal work and I've worked seasonal work. And a lot of people, you know, being seasonal, we only have so many months to make our money.
Yep.
And stack our money because we have...
100 days.
Yeah, really. But we do the work... Everybody that works in a seasonal, busy vacation resort area, they do the work of 3 people, everybody. You're like Superman for 3 months, and you're doing the work of 3 or 4 people. You're doing all this crazy stuff. You're overexerting yourself because it's just that season, and you need to do it.
You have to do it.
You get to the back end after about 3 months into it, and that's when it's like, wah, 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 shut down city, dude. Because we're doing the work, I think, with like a normal restaurant that was open year-round would do on, like, every weekend or whatever. They're busy, maybe Wing Wednesday or, you know. Well, those are gone, by the way. You remember? We talked about that. We have to do so much, so hard, so fast, and we ask our coworkers and employees to do that because it is seasonal. It's just draining. You hit about mid-August, and
yeah, the dog days of August. And now,
hunker down and pray for daylight.
Now you're going to get second or third wind because, one, people are coming up like hordes right now because they want to get their summer vacation. Two, this year it happened. Last year it didn't happen. The year before it did happen. All your college people are leaving.
Yes.
So now you're going to be short staff.
Oh, yeah. We're going to lose one of our rock stars, our grill rock star.
Yeah, so.
You know, rest in peace, Riley. See you next summer. You know, wah, thing again. Like, where are you going? Perfect. But yeah, then the season still goes, and especially last year, schools weren't really reopening on time. So the summer family vacationers and the pontoon like crowd, party crowd mode.
They stayed longer.
It was 2 or 3 weeks longer than normal, and we lost employees this year. I feel like it's kind of going to be the same because there's still a lot of Minnesota schools that have the option to do at-home schooling and all that. And that's a lot of our clientele is Illinois, Wisconsin, and Milwaukee. So I feel like this year is the same chance of that happening, but we're losing our summer help now. So right when you're like, man, maybe it's breathing time, I get a little rest time. Nope. Now we have 3 less employees, so we still have to do the work of 4 people every day.
You still have to keep the standards up.
And somehow keep your mind sharp and like motivate yourself, because it gets to the point now in the season, you just harder to find that inspiration.
It's hard to get up in the morning to go to work.
Yeah, because you're seeing the end, like the slowdown period, but it's still not slow. So you're like getting into like, oh, where am I going on vacation? Oh, I could be lazy.
And your brain's like, oh, it's going on vacation.
Yeah, and every day I'm like, oh, it's the slower season. And then I get to work and it's like still mid-July numbers. You're like, whoa, my brain wants it to be done.
I hear you there. That's for sure.
You know, like a lot of people work for the weekend. You know, they work Monday through Friday and they get that recharge.
But they do it 52 weeks out of the year,
right,
if they have vacation 2 weeks or 50 weeks. But
where we go hard in our busy season, but we get no breaks and no days off.
No days off, no breaks. Sometimes do. I mean, you can. I mean, I don't want a restaurant, so I do take days off.
Right, you can. You know, yeah. I work for somebody else.
Probably not, but I'm good grumpy.
You have that option. I mean, you have your own business where I work. We just really don't get days off. My days off, I'm still doing work.
Mine's just a restaurant.
That's also true. It's a little different. We have people staying on site that expect us to be open. But I go hard, and then sometimes I get jealous. See people posting on Instagram or Facebook, and they're like, oh, I went to Twins game this weekend, and college reunion, partied up, da-da-da.
Yep.
Even like, oh, they went to their kid's graduation or whatever. I'm like, man, I don't get these weekends. It gets you frustrated. You're like, why?
And then as soon as we can have those weekends off, there's nothing to do.
Right, because everything's closed up here. So it's weird. But at the same time, I have to remind myself that one of the reasons I like and I do the seasonal work, even though I kick my own ass all summer, I get 2 months to not have to think about work before we reopen.
That's the scary part, because how do you know? I mean, you plan for 2 months off, but that's just still, to me, scary.
That's actually super frightening, because you work so hard, we don't get days off, which is cool, because I don't really have time to spend money, especially up here. You know, it's just work.
Yep.
So I get to this part of the year, and I'm like, all this cash stacked up. Oh my God, I'm doing great. But then, I'm going to not take in any income for 2.5 months. You know what I mean? Then you get nervous, so it's like exciting. I stacked up these thousands of dollars. I get 2 months off to go travel and do all this crap, but then I'm like, wait. That's a long time not going
to
pay
$3,000 to go travel. I'm going to do this for this.
And then the reality hits that you actually aren't going to bring in any income for 2 months. And you're like, that's a long time to not get a check.
Help.
Right. So it's that fine line of, you know, working your butt off, saving all your money, not getting days off, not having any fun, just work. And then you're like, I'm going to reward myself with travel. But then it's like, ugh.
But you think we'd be used to this, though? Because we always, even me, I'm like, you know, like excited about going traveling, traveling, but we should be used to like knowing we're going to take 2 months off, knowing we're going to have this much money, knowing
and that's
we'll be fine, but you never are.
You're never really 100% comfortable. I mean, the thought of not bringing in any income at all, you just have to spend for 2 straight months is scary. But you're right. It does take a little time to get the brain wired. Like my first time that I ever did seasonal work when I was younger, you leave with the summer, you got shoestrings holding up your pants and a pocket full of lint, and you're going to be homeless.
Right.
And that's scary. But I learned that. And then even here, I've been here, this is my 6th summer, so I'm 5.5 years here. The first couple years, I got all this money. Spend. I'm going to go blew like 10 grand on my first time I had the 2 months off, and then I came back with nothing. I've gotten wiser over the years just to put the quarters in the jars and hide 20s around my house.
Yep. And then a little bit later, you're like a squirrel. Oh, look at this. I got a $20 bill. Right. Where did that come from?
All of a sudden, after 6 weeks of no income and I spent most of my money on vacation, then I'm like, oh, yeah. Somewhere in my house, there's piles of cash.
That's good.
Weird old pair of socks I never wore that I still have from high school that I'll never wear, but there's a $500. So you do get better at learning and planning. And if you do that correctly, and that's what I tell everybody who's in the seasonal, if you play your cards right and have that mentality that it's like a squirrel with nuts. We're squirreling up all summer long.
Yep.
Set yourself up to be able to move on to the next seasonal gig, have some travel money, have some food money and not stress, and still have a little bit in savings. It took me a long time to learn it, but then it makes it worth doing seasonal work.
It does. Totally.
I am excited this year because I really went hard and saved my money. And with all the COVID stuff the last 2 years, I've had to limit my travel to a lot of places I want to go. Now I'm ready to roll. Like, I'm going on a 3-week, 4-week road trip somewhere.
Somewhere
to
do
something. I'm going to eat, and I'm not going to worry about anything. I'm going to make up for the last year and a half. But all summer, I made sure I reminded myself, hey, you need this for your own mental health.
Get that safety net out.
Safety net. I have a bigger safety net. Yeah, after every year, I get a little bit bigger safety net. But it's still scary when you don't.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, we talk about our seasonal slowdown in the fall. We're worried about money. We reopen for winter, but up here, if we don't have snow, there is no customers. It's snowmobile.
Snowmobile, ice fishing. If we don't get the cold, we don't get no snow, we don't get nothing.
So we can't even really bank on, like, summer, we're going to do good.
Yep.
We get that little time let lull. You get a slow season, I get time off. That's the scary part, too. We can't even bet on the winter season.
No, there's no betting on the winter season.
Mother Nature's in control of that.
Yep.
Because it's 99% snowmobilers up here. Yeah, there's a handful of ice fishermen. We got the ski race. But if the weather sucks there, we don't even get the big Berkey ski race.
No, we don't get nothing.
So we can't bank on it. You know, where I work, I think most winters we're open because we're part of the snowmobile trail system and we're part of the big resort community and associations and all that. We have to be open. We sell gas. We're part of that trail. Snowmobilers need gas. But I would say we break even just to be open.
In the wintertime, I think we just break even. You know, just to, if we don't break even, we just make like a 2% gain or some sort. Not very much, but
yeah,
at least we're open.
And that's if we have snow.
Yeah.
Well, my first winter, we talked about this. This will be my sixth one coming up. Everyone was like, oh my God, wintertime is going to be crazy. You don't even know what you're going to see. And I'm like, whatever, bring it. I've worked in some fast place joints. Yep. And I just went through summer and saw that. Then winter hit and it rained all winter. And there was days where it just like tumbleweed rolling through the bar. And I don't know where tumbleweed comes from in the wintertime, but it just did. And I was thinking to myself, these clowns, they don't know what busy is. Like, this is nothing. Next winter was the best winter that my employer ever had because our snow was phenomenal.
Yep.
A foot every week for the whole winter.
Wow.
And then, but I was thinking like, oh yeah, winter's easy. I don't have to do anything. And then I got smoked. So I saw my first two winters were their slowest winter ever in 10 years and their busiest winter back to back. But it goes to show, like, you can't count on money.
No, not at all. You can't.
You can't count on your business staying, making money. I can't count as a bartender. I'm going home with tips. Now, when the snow is good, it's awesome. But I have to also plan for and save for a bad winter.
Yeah, you got to save for your time off. Well, then you have to save for your winter.
Right.
So you're like,
You really have to save for a potential 6 months of not making money versus just the 2 months off. On my end, I'm off for 2 months, but I also have to think, what if winter is terrible? And now I have to save till April, from October to April.
I try not to think about it, but I do.
Right.
You have to.
You have to. If you don't, that's when you end up.
There's nobody behind me with big pockets. Like, don't worry about it.
Right.
There's no big pockets. There's a pocket of lint.
Big old lint balls.
Yep.
That's true. You know, and then God forbid, you know, your heater goes out in the winter. You got to replace that. And it's a slow winter. Like, there goes that 2% profit.
Dun, dun, dun.
You know, there's always those emergency things. Your pipes freeze for some reason and you got to get plumbing. There's that little window of profit you have, 2 to 5%. Bye.
Bye.
Peace out, keep out, take the scenic route.
And there's also the change of people in here in this town. Change of attitudes and people. And from the beginning of when you open up in the spring, start the summer, now we're going to, I hate to say, fall, preschool season. There's people that change.
Oh, that's an interesting, very interesting point. This is, especially up here,
because
we're a lake-ish community. Northern Wisconsin, rural, people come up here, lakes, boats, things like that, a little golfing. We have wintertime, it's just snowmobiling pretty much, a little bit of ice fishing. But yeah, it is interesting. Like, we go into the season and we start off slow. That's all like the old time fishermen. People just come, it's just fishermen. All of April, or they late
want,
April.
Yep, they want some beers and they want to go fishing.
Yeah, and they're smaller groups, they're slower paced, they go to bed early because they're getting up early to fish. So like, they're not crazy partying all day, bar crowd. And then we shift from the old-time fishermen, I call them, into like June comes, and you still got the fisherman crowd,
yep.
But you're starting to see schools are getting out now, so the party families are showing up.
Yep.
And then about June 20th, it's like, oh, here comes pontoon season, and that's when it just starts bonkers.
Here comes kids.
Yeah, all the kids, kitty cocktails, 5,000 of them a day. You're making more kitty cocktails than you're making Captain and Cokes. That's when you know it's family season.
Yep.
So it's all families that just float around. On, like, we're on a lake. You're not on the lake. But all those families are coming to your joint for breakfast.
Yeah. So a lot of them come for breakfast. Some are hungover, except for the kids.
That might be my fault.
That's all right.
I do my job well.
Well, I do my job well, too. I feed them, get them tired. So they go hang out on the lake for a while. And
perfect. Teamwork.
I want to hear the most satisfying sound in the world, I was told.
That was music to my ears.
That was, I heard that a couple nights ago. Somebody's like, the most satisfying sound in the world.
I love it. Like, that's awesome.
By the way, it's just 7-Up.
Yeah. Allegedly.
No, that was just 7-Up. What's in the glass? Not 7-Up.
7-Up is now being converted to a stronger potion. But yeah, we go into from fishing crowd, then it gets a slow party crowd, then July hits, and that's just high maintenance because it's just large groups of really intoxicated people just piling in at all random times of the day because they're just coming off the lake, and that's like run and gun time.
And they're happy.
And they're happy, and it's fun. Yep. Sometimes you gotta like tell them how to function because they're just shit-faced all day.
I don't get that because I'm in a breakfast lunch place, so I don't get the shit-faced part of it. I get the hungover the next morning going, I need a Bloody Mary.
I need some bacon and a Bloody Mary.
And some pancakes, like, I need 10 pancakes. I'm like, you can't eat 10 pancakes. I don't want 10 pancakes. All right, I'll get you 10 pancakes. Here you go. And they're like, I can only eat 2. Take the rest home.
Still got to pay for the 10.
Yep.
You're lost, not mine.
That's right.
Eat some cold pancakes on the boat later on.
Good fish food, I heard.
That's right. Crappies love pancakes. But yeah, so it goes to that. Like, so your mind and your body, that's when we start running and doing the work of four people ever for everybody. And it goes nuts. And then August is equally as busy. But August shifts the dynamic a little bit, too.
I say August 1st, August 2nd, it's a whole new crowd.
It's just as busy.
Yep.
But it's a different demographic.
It is.
It all of a sudden turns into, at least at my place, less of like just a straight drunk party crowd to like still drunk. But I don't know. I feel like it's like more pretentious families are coming in and they're like more of a pain in the ass.
I always say it's like the family's like, oh, crap, summer's almost over. I got to get my vacation in for the kids. And then they're like gone. Or they go and do it. But they don't know how to vacation yet. They don't know how to slow their brains down and go, oh,
and just relax, right? Yeah. We're July, it's midsummer, everyone's just like, I'm drinking, I'm not thinking.
The kids are like, I don't want to go back to school, so let's go do this.
It's a little more like, it's like same busy, but it's a little more high strung families. Yeah. More intense. And then I feel like August families that come here, I don't know. Maybe it's in my head, but like I said, I hate to use the word, but pretentious. Like, I feel like everything's a little more picky, and then like their burgers just got to have this special twist to it. And it's, I get more a lot of like, I brought my own bun.
Yeah.
Like, we have a 2-foot by 2-foot grill that's been there for 20 years. Like, we're not a high end burger joint.
No.
I need to have a bone bun, but you need to clean the grill first. And I've got like 400 tickets laying there.
And I want 20 packets of mayonnaise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was a fun one. I want a cowboy burger. Which comes, by the way, folks, with American cheese, bacon, crispy fried onions, and Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce. Very delicious burger.
It's very good. I've had it twice.
I'll take the cowboy burger. Okay, cool. But yeah, I can't have cheese. Okay, cool.
Yep.
Crispy onions, bacon, barbecue. Well, I can't do onions. Okay, cool. So you want bacon and barbecue sauce. Well, we don't like barbecue sauce. So you want a bacon hamburger. Well, but bacon's not healthy. So basically, I went through that whole process, and I ended up serving her a hamburger.
I hope he charges like $25 for it.
For my time? I should have. Like, you, who
ordered, like, time, but
that's like ordering a Big Mac, but with none of the ingredients. So he basically just should have said, I want a hamburger. And then we brought mayo out to him. They wanted mayo with their burgers. But it turned out to be decompressed burgers into just hamburgers. So I bring out 2 mayo packets for each burger.
Which is a lot of mayonnaise, actually, those packets.
Yeah, you don't need a lot on a burger. And they were like, well, actually, we need 20 packets of mayo. I just kind of rolled my eyes and didn't say anything, smiled, walked away, rolled my eyes, not to their face. Yep, and there was my coworker. I had to bring him 20 packets of mayo, and sure enough, I cleaned their table off, and there was like one packet, I don't know. They used 23 packets of mayo.
Wow, that's amazing. I've never seen that before.
On a hamburger.
That's nuts.
That they ordered that already had 5 ingredients, so. That's like the August crowd. That's a good example. Yeah, like that story is just like how, it's more of a needy. Like, no, I'm not shutting my grill down, deep cleaning it and wiping it down and sanitizing it because other buns were on there and you have a gluten intolerance. Like, I feel like that's fine, but just keep your bun, ask for a burger, do your thing. Like, I'm not shutting down my operation.
No.
For your one burger. I have 60 people waiting for food right now. But that's like the expectation they have. Like, that's how I feel like August is. It's a lot more of that. You're like, oh, what are you? Like the lady the other day, I want an old fashioned. Well, an old fashioned, you got booze, you got a bubbly substance, sour mix, Sprite, you got bitters. You get cherry juice, or a little bit of olives or olive juice if you want. Pretty simple, but it's still five steps. I want old fashioned. All right, cool. Well, unlike whiskey or brandy. Well, I don't really like either. I guess I'll try whiskey, just a little bit. All right, cool. Well, and I can't do bubbles. They just really upset my stomach. I'm like, well, usually we use Sprite or sour. Well, I can't do bubbles. And I was like, all right, well, water. Yeah, let's do a little bit of whiskey, water. And I was like, cool. So water, a little bit of whiskey, bitters, cherry juice.
Yep.
Well, I don't know about the bitters. I'll do a little cherry juice. And I was like, cool. I usually put one sugar packet in there. She's like, well, put extra. Put two or three in there. So I make her a little bit of whiskey, three sugar packets. Oh, I only put two in there. She said two or three. Water, cherry juice, and I bring it to her. I go and check on her table 10 minutes later. There's no old fit. There's one sip. And she's like, this is terrible. It's way too sweet. What do you want from me? What do you want?
You don't want no bubbly. You don't want no.
You didn't want the bitters. Yeah.
If you don't like bourbon or bourbon whiskey or brandy.
Yeah.
I've never heard of a vodka old fashioned, have you?
I made a couple.
I wonder how they work.
They're probably pretty good. I might try one when I go out tonight.
I might just order one too somewhere.
Yeah. That would work just fine if you made it with the ingredients. You got the bitters and the sugar and all that, you know, and the cherry juice. I think it'd be great. But the effort that I had to put in, that was 10 minutes of still have customers waiting to build this weirdo drink, kind of like the decompressed burger. Now I'm doing a decompressed old fashioned, which turned out to be terrible, and she didn't drink it.
Well, it sounds terrible in my head.
But that's my crowd all August. Every table has one of those. I don't know what are we going to call them.
Burger King style.
Do it your way. The hard way.
That's what I say when I get people like that in my restaurant. I'm like, oh, it's Burger King today, huh?
Yeah.
Do it your way, which slows me down because I got that double think. Cooks, you know, we know where everything's at in our station. You know what all the ingredients are, where this is. So all of a sudden, you have cheese on one and no cheese on this and no peppers on that. And all of a sudden, you're busy, you're working. And all of a sudden, you look down, you're like, oh, fuck, I put cheese on that.
It's a lot of muscle memory.
Yeah, because your brain is just... I went to one place, the poor cook. He made this one dish like five times because he could not stop putting cheese in this one dish. And finally, I stopped what I was doing, and I'm like, all right, let's do this. And I looked at him, no cheese, no cheese. And he's like, what? And I said, no cheese. Oh, we got a family. Well, look at this. All right, that'll be edited out.
What were we talking about now that we're on an edit? With the picky old fashions.
Picky old fashions, Burger King style.
Yeah, so then we'll switch into...
Let's just talk about how we're going to lose people, too. With picky people still there.
Yeah.
So I got to work twice as hard for that picky person because you don't have the extra help.
We lose our help. It's more of a needy crowd. Still busy. And with COVID, like, extending the season, it's double busy.
Yep.
So you're still running three or four times as hard as you ever should as a human. And you got to get through August and now into early September. Our September, like I said, last year went 2 weeks longer. And then all of a sudden, it switches. Once schools are back, and the more pretentious families are the difficult groups that don't know how to function in society, it feels like, they leave. And then it gets back into, like, the old fisherman crowd again for that last month.
Yep.
The last of the season. But then all of a sudden, you're, like, going so hard for June and July, August, your brain's like, ah! And then it just, like, drops, and you're like, well, what do I do?
Then you have the weekend warriors, I call them, in August. Not really in September, because September you get the retired, the newlyweds.
The newlyweds or nearly deads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what September is all about.
Yeah, and one former employer of mine, Susan, that's what she always called it. The newlyweds and nearly deads. It's young couples who are like dating or freshly married, but they don't have a ton of money and they don't want to do the crowds. They're just like trying to have a romantic time so they come later. Or you get like the old couples that are like wanting to see the fall colors change or like they want to avoid the cartoon partiers.
They want everything's still open, but they don't want to be standing.
Yeah, they want to be a little more private, hang out with each other. And it's a cute season. And then you got the fishermen that come back, which are cool because they're usually more mature, can have good conversations. The bar's not as busy, so I'm not just running.
Yep.
I don't have to break out unicorn suits for them. And like
polar bear foods.
All that extra effort I put into entertaining the summer crowd, I don't really have to do as much because I don't care about unicorn suits. But your brain's still on that fast mode, and it takes about a week or two to like realize, wait, what do I do when all four tables are fed and have drinks? Like, there's no other table to get to.
And for me, it was always in other restaurants, and even my restaurant's like, I'm going to order this food, but oh, crap, I ordered way too much food. Wait a minute. All right, slow down. It's that time of year.
That's an interesting
Otherwise,
point
you waste your food, and I got to raise my hand. I waste some food because I was still thinking it's summertime.
Yeah.
You order dial it back a little bit or dial, you know, readjust your thinking.
And then for us, because we actually close and because I do all the ordering and knock on wood, I've just somehow my brain's wired to where I literally get it down to like the last day we have one case of burgers left. And nice. I'm really good at it, but I always get nervous about that because one, it's not my product. It's not my money I'm wasting. The expectations there for me to wind down to like literally have 18 bags of chips left, you know, on the chip wall. And I've been ordering 5,000 of everything for 3 months. And now I have to start dialing it down, but still can't run out of food. And that's a challenge.
It is a challenge.
It's really hard.
And what do you do?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know what to do. I mean, I just, when I one restaurant, we closed for cleaning for a week. Some days, 5 days, and it was longer. Depends what we all had to do. I'm like, all right, what are you going to do? In that case, because this is a bigger restaurant, we just ran out of food. Because it's like, not all of it, but you know what? I wonder if something could freeze, like chicken tenders, or you keep that frozen, have it freeze them and stuff like that. But you didn't want to run out, you didn't want to have 5 cases of salad greens laying around, or
right,
you know, 10 pounds of cucumbers.
You got to shrink your menu a little bit, get it to the things you could hold till the next season, or, you know, just that stay frozen that you could use in slower amounts. Yeah, and we're the same way. I mean, we take 4 or 5 items off our menu, and if we're out of lettuce, we're out of lettuce at the last week. It doesn't matter.
Right?
It's okay. And when we run out of items, we cross them off the menu, or we reprint the menu and shrink it. But it's still a challenge because there's only so much space to hold it over when we're closed. Mm-hmm. We shut our coolers down, our walk-ins, so we have like 2 chest freezers. So I basically have to make sure my ordering fits in 2 chest freezers. Anymore, it's getting chucked.
Yep.
It's a challenge. It's fun for me because my brain works like that. Like, it's like a puzzle. Like, and I have to just guess in my head, like a computer, like an algorithm. But I think we're going to sell 220 burgers in the next 2 weeks.
So what do you do? Do you buy that?
I order 300. And almost every time it's perfect because I end up with 60 extras. That's one case. And I just put it in the chest freeze. It also makes me nervous. And some of our beer we can return to the vendor if it's still in date. Some of it, it's going to expire because we're closed literally for 2.5 months. All kinds of stuff. But yeah, that's another interesting part of seasonal world.
Yeah, you gotta,
things people don't think about.
Even I get kind of weirded out. I'm like, when the season's like, now I'm starting to slow down. I'm like, I looked at my bank account. I'm like, I want more money. You know, and I'm like, okay, people are coming. Like, well, this will be all right. Actually, in August, September, even in October, we're going to get the weekend warriors. This is I don't know about this year, if the trees are going to be pretty or not, but you know, the people coming for the trees.
Yep.
It usually works out. I probably shouldn't worry about money as much as I do.
We all do, but as a business owner, you have to think about it a little bit more.
I just want to hurt my snare head, you know?
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, like an employee goes home and they get their paycheck, they get their tips, they work for it, whatever. They don't have to worry about the business shutting down. Like, you have to worry about those things, so.
And this year, if you're an employee and you get, like, even if you're going to get laid off for 2 months, if you still want to work, there's a lot of places still looking for work. I mean, it's...
Like everywhere.
Everywhere.
I mean, not only in this business, but everywhere. I was on Main Street down in Hayward yesterday. It's the back end of the season, and there's still
looking for some people.
Help wanted signs in every business, Marketplace, Quick Trip. It's a gas station. They're offering $15, $16 to start as a cashier. Crazy.
Maybe that's what I should do.
I know. Maybe we should quit and just go work as cashier. That would be so easy.
Thanks for coming. Hello. See you next time.
Here's your Marlboro Lights and your coffee. That will be $9.73, please.
It must be getting nice, close to 25 minutes because we're starting to squirrel.
See you next time.
Oh, yeah. Close that magical squirrel time. we went around the corner squirreling.
Now we're going to work a Quick Trip.
Yep.
Yeah, 20 minutes, we run out of steam. But long short is, yes, the seasonal world, it's mentally exhausting. We work our tails off. And then we shift into slow season, and we're like, we could breathe. And then we get scared because we're like, whew, my tips just decreased by 30% because we have 30% of traffic now. And then I'm like,
usually the first week you're like, yes, I'm slow. Then also you're like, oh crap.
Yeah, you get relieved. You're like, oh yeah, slow. I could breathe and get caught up on life, and we could do some deep cleaning and all that. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait, $52 in my tip jar is not the $250 and I expected.
Right. It's so true.
It's so weird, yeah. Or yeah, you look at your sales numbers at the end of the day. Like we're doing $4,000, $5,000 bar and grill days all summer long, and now a good day, not like late September, October, is like 700. You're like, 5,000 to 700.
You know, like you're standing around because there's really nothing to clean because you've cleaned everything until you break everything down. I mean, you can't break everything down because you never know when you get the next
customer. Yeah, that's the thing, too. There's a lot of cleaning, like, for us because we closed.
No.
And you got those 2 weeks left. And you're like, well, I don't have a lot to do. Orders are caught up. I could do so much to get ready for cleaning, but we're literally going to gut the whole place and deep clean it in 2 weeks.
So why re-clean some? I mean, you clean what you need to clean.
Yeah, daily sanitary is always important, but.
Squirreling. My brain went squirreling.
I know.
It's that time to close.
All right. Well, anyways, we'll edit probably the last 10 minutes out.
Do it. That's our thought on this whole August dog days of summer. Life in the fast lane, then all of a sudden you slam the brakes on, go to the slow lane.
Yeah. For those who don't work in seasonal world, like, these are just some of the ups and downs and challenges that we have, and there's a lot of reward to it. And
we're not complaining at all because we like it because we're still here.
I've been doing it forever. Yeah. So, you know, it's amazing, but it's a little bit different world. It's mentally taxing, physically taxing, but it's also mentally rewarding, physically rewarding. We do get some slow time to go play. I'm looking forward to the end.
I know, me too. But I'm not. I am, but I'm not.
It's, you got to close at least for a week. Get yourself a vacation.
I think I'm about going somewhere with my camper.
Yeah, go somewhere like in November.
Something farther away than just half an hour.
Yeah. And go somewhere cool.
Yeah.
Because what's open in November up here? Nobody's up there. Nobody's fishing. Lakes are closed.
Why do I just do in October?
Go early. But I think you need to take your camper somewhere epic. Take it to the west or the south. And set up shop for a whole week or two.
Just relax.
And just relax. And you'll be out of the community and you won't be thinking about reopening and all that because you'll be away.
Yep.
Go to like the backwoods of Alabama or something there. Or take it out if it's not too late. If you go in October.
Tennessee.
Tennessee, there you go.
Tennessee.
Take it to Tennessee, because that's weather, perfect weather that time of year. You're not going too much into the...
And they got alcohol.
And they have alcohol. Don't go anywhere dry. Either take it there or take it somewhere like New Mexico or like Southwest. But just get out of here for a week. Right. You earned it.
You earned your vacation too, my friend.
Oh, and I'm ready to rock full bunnies. I've already got the bunny suit. I'm sewing up the bunny suit, folks.
It's gone plaid.
Yeah, you'll hear about that in about 3 months. All right, everyone. We love you. Have a good day, and thanks for tuning in. Sorry for getting a little squirrely these days. We're just getting exhausted.
All right. But we're telling you the truth.
We'll be back on track mentally soon.
All right. Bro? Recorded at the world headquarters of the Cook and Bartender with Adam and Tiny.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Like, comment, follow, spread the word. We appreciate it. cookandbartender@gmail.com, cookandbartender on Facebook, or cookbartender@Instagram. Thank you.